We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, excuse me. Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Friday. It's Friday, and it's chaos around here. You hear my boss?
Sorry.
Anyway, the KCO Open is happening. Progress. Thank you. 100 times a million, Cud, Pressure Control, for bringing out the Crane out to the Elk City Golf and Country Club, the all-new clubhouse there also. They set it up early this morning. The American flag is flying out there, and I'm going to tell you, it looks patriotic in this wind. It is awesome. Oklahoma flag's flying, and the Cud Pressure Control flag is flying. So, anyway, thank you so much, Cud, for doing that for us. Golf clap. Anyway, it's hot. I'm going to do something a little different to start out the temperatures. We're going to go with the coolest first. 89 degrees at Beaver, and 91 at Slap Out. That's the coolest in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Eric, Bessie, Weatherford, Camargo, you're already in the triple digits, and it's just now noon. So it's going to be hot. They're saying today will be the hottest day so far this year. Heat index is up to 115 in the state of Oklahoma. And, guys, just be careful out there. That's all I can tell you. When we were in Saudi Arabia and Iraq in Desert Storm, our requirement was minimum during the day when it was 125 to 130 degrees, 2 gallons of water. Drink 2 gallons of water, stay away from pop, and it's hard for me to do because me and Dr. Pepper, we got this relationship. But anyway, it's drink plenty of water is all I can tell you. Lots of water. Keep lots of water handy, and stay hydrated. If you don't know how to test if you're hydrated enough, look at Google it. I don't want to talk about it on air. Anyway, it has a lot to do with your urine. I got an interesting text message right before the show, and I want to share it with you guys, just so you know. Anyway, I got a text message from up around Visay. It says, is the story true a calf can't get blackleg if still sucking? No, it's not. And I called one of my favorite vets, Dr. Mouse, and ask, and she said it's not. Up to a certain point, they can't, but once the calf gets, we're just throwing a number out here, 450 to 600 pounds, it can, because the antibodies in the cow are probably gone out of the milk. Right now, the cow's just a source of a drink of milk for those calves. They're eating grass and no other stuff. So anyway, so no, it's not true that calves on mamas cannot get blackleg. So just like to share you. I like doing little questions like that and finding out the source. So let's see here. Out in the Texas Panhandle, more of the same thing. 93 at Lipscomb, 98 at Miami, 97 at Wellington, and Odell, you're 98 degrees down there across the Red River Bridge. Okay, I got lots going on. We're busy around the station here. The golf tournament, man, it's going on. We got all kinds of good stuff going on with that, and that'll be going on starting with the horse race tonight and this afternoon, I mean. And so for all you golfers, agriculture related or not, please drink plenty of fluid and Then we got the players' dinner around 7 or 7:30. I don't have my... Oh, I got my schedule. Hang on here. Yeah, I got it. Be easier for me to do this instead of guess. 3:30, meet for horse race. 4 o'clock, horse race. 7:30, players' party and dinner inside the clubhouse. This is our first one in the clubhouse in quite a long time. So it's the most important thing is for you guys to be on time tomorrow. 7:30 shotgun start for the morning flight. 1:30 shotgun start for the afternoon flight. Anyway, big winners over at the Sayre Golf Course last night. I don't know that I seen anybody agriculture related in that winner's picture, but anyway, 7-week carryover, big winners. Congratulations to Toby Davis, and I think I seen Jason Brooks in that picture. I can't remember who else was in there. So anyway, all good. Congratulations, guys. Okay, let's see what happened overnight in the big old ag world we got going here in the Farm Belt. Soybeans and grains were higher in overnight trading and adverse weather in the U.S. and investor square positions ahead of the reports from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Heat indexes in parts of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas will reach well into the triple digits, threatening beans, corn, and wheat in the region, and whatever else is growing in there. Let's throw some cotton and peanuts in there also, and alfalfa. And my cover crop down there in the bottom that was a mixture of brown millet, candy for quail, and high gear looks pretty sad right now. I'm just going to tell you. And congratulations to the Panhandle of Oklahoma and northwestern Oklahoma and parts of the northern part of the Texas Panhandle. You guys got some really good rains last night, and so they were south of us the day before, north of us yesterday. Maybe the middle of western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle can get some rain finally. Anyway, maybe this is the year that Lake Optimum fills up. I don't know. Anyway, there's some meetings. I read a deal. I think the major from down there at Cooperton sent me. There's a meeting scheduled again maybe this year to decide what they're actually going to do with all that property after they kicked everybody off their properties there, what was it, 30, 40 years ago or longer than that, and built something that's worthless. So anyway, we'll see what happens. The extreme heat will continue into tomorrow in parts of all three states, according to the National Weather Service. Flooding is ongoing in parts of Iowa and Illinois. I got a picture from a buddy that lives up there, north of Omaha, along the Iowa-Nebraska state line, there along the Missouri, and it's out of its banks. Farm fields are flooded and all kinds of crazy stuff going on up there. Several waterways in Iowa, including the Des Moines River, the East and West Forks of the Des Moines River, and the Cedar River are all overrunning their banks. Prices also are rising ahead of today's report from the USDA, which is scheduled to release its acreage and grain stocks report at noon in Washington, and I was looking for it a while ago, and I still haven't got it. Analysts polled by Rutgers expect the government to report June 1st corn stocks at 4.783 billion bushels, which would be up from 4.103 billion in storage on the same date a year earlier. Soybean inventories likely will be pegged at 962 million bushels, up from 796 million at the same point last year. And wheat stockpiles will probably be seen as 684 million bushels versus 570 million that were in the bins a year earlier. Keep in mind, in case you forget, last year and the year before, wheat harvest wasn't great at all. So seeing numbers higher than this year is a great deal for farmers because we did produce more grain this year, but the prices are not what we would like to see. Export sales were mixed with wheat and corn improving on a weekly basis and soybean sales declining. Wheat sales rose to 667,000 metric tons, up from 589. Corn sales increased 6% week over week from 542 Soybean sales for the week came in at 282,000 tons, down 49% from the previous week. Soybeans for November delivery rose 7.5 cents to $11.12 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal rose $1 to $3.3950 a short ton, and soy oil was up 0.4 cents to $43.96 a pound overnight. Corn futures for December delivery overnight added a penny and a quarter to $4.35 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery gained 5.75 to $5.85 and a quarter a bushel. And Kansas City futures rose 3.25 to $6 a bushel. Canadian farmers planted less wheat, corn, and canola while increasing area dedicated to soybeans, according to a report from Statistics Canada. Statcans. Wheat area was down 1.1% to 26.6 million acres. Despite being lower on annual basis, that is still well above the prior five-year average. Growers planted 14.2 million acres of wheat, unchanged from the previous year. In Alberta, producers planted 7.8 million, down 1.6%, and farmers in Manitoba reduced reduced areas by 1.4% to 3.2 million acres. Corn area in Canada fell 4.8% to 3.6 million, StatCan said. Producers in Ontario, which accounts for 60% of all corn grown in the North American country, planted 2.2 million acres, down 4.6%. Canola seeding declined 0.3% from last year to 22 million acres. Soybean area, meanwhile, rose 2.2% to 5.7 million acres. Farmers in Ontario, where most of the country's soybeans are grown, planted 3.1 million acres with the oil seeds, and that's up 7.1% from last year. Weather in our farm belt, extreme heat is expected in eastern Oklahoma and parts of Kansas. What do they call 100 degrees out here? According to the National Weather Service, maps, indexes are forecast to hit 110 to 115 this afternoon. Heat-related illnesses increase significantly during extreme heat and high humidity events. In east central Kansas, heat indexes are expected to hit as high as 107. In north Texas, values will reach 109. In northern Indiana, storms are expected to bring heavy rain to the area. Northern Ohio may also see severe weather tomorrow afternoon for you guys traveling to Ohio. Anyway, let's go ahead and take this Wheeler General Store break. And when I come back, I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealership's Ag Market Update. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. Here is your Texas ag weather update for the eastern panhandle and south part of the North Texas there that can hear me down there. Odell, 99 degrees, heat index 105, humidity's 36%, dew point 68, the winds are out of the south at 19 miles an hour with wind gust up to 27, 1.35 inches of rain, month-to-date precipitation, 8-inch soil temperature, 90 degrees. Time to plant corn. Anyway, woo, that's warm. All right, here is your Lipscomb's dealerships ag market update. All right, let's check it out. Get my mic back up where it's supposed to be. July corn 395 down 18. September 406 down 16.5. Guess they finally figured out they had a presidential debate last night and the market's reacting finally. Hey, I'd like to hear some of your reply. You know, I don't like politics, but that deal last night, I watched a little bit of it after I got home and watched some of it back. Whew. Anyway, that's all I could tell you. July soybeans, 11.55, up 3.25. August, 11.39, up two and three quarters. Soybean meal for July, 3.61, down 10. August, 3.47.20, down 9. And or down 90. Let's see here. Oil there changed on me. July soybean oil 43.69, up 20. August 43.96, up 23. And hard red winter wheat July 5.82, down 10. September 5.82, down 14.25. Oh, you lost what they gained yesterday. Cotton not doing so good. July cotton 72.02, down 68. I won't even talk about sugar today, but because sugar daddy, he's too busy. Sent me a picture that he had some tomatoes of mine that he was getting ready to eat. Oil from out in West Texas, August 81.47, down 27. And natural gas, August 2.62, down 6. Live cattle for June, 193.50, down 67. August 185.75, down 70. feeder cattle for August 260.37, down 27. September 261.15, down 25. October's 261.62, down 17. Lean hogs for July 89.50, up a nickel. August is 89.42, up 132. That's all we got. What's the NASDAQ? This is surprising after that debate last night that the markets are actually in the green. Looks like the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are all up slightly. And that's the way it goes. But I know I don't have a 6 handicap. So anyway, I'm sorry. That's comical. All right. So I was going to do some things a little different today. If I get the right one up. Anyway, I seen this, and I hadn't talked about gardens in a while. So in 1910, Mayor Cromer, a rural school teacher in South Carolina, organized a girls' tomato club so females aged 9 to 20 could not learn simply how to grow better and more perfect tomatoes, but how to grow better and be more perfect women. Soon there was tomato clubs in a number of states. Remember this back in 1910. The idea was simple. Teach rural girls how to plant and grow tomatoes, then harvest and can them, and sell them for a profit. The only work the girls didn't do themselves was plowing of their individual 1/10 of an acre acre plots. In one notable example, a girl harvested 2,000 pounds of tomatoes. She's my hero already, and I don't even know her name. After sales, she earned a profit of $78, which equals $2,470 today. This was real money for girls who came from hard scramble backgrounds. In 1915, one tomato club girl was quoted as saying the work was long and sometimes tiresome. It's been a way by which I could not only have my own spending money and pay my expenses at the farm camp, but I also have a bank account of $60, which is equal to about $1,881 today. How cool would that be to do that today? I was thinking about that. Maybe that would be a good place up here north of Elk at the conservation farm deal up there. Put out about an acre or something and have some young ladies from rural and in Elk City go out there and plant some tomatoes and work on them. If they got water and stuff, there's no telling how they did that back then, 1910. They didn't have drip tape, I'm sure. And everything was, them were still hand-pumped wells back then. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you guys. I thought that was a cool story. I don't even remember where I read it, but I saved it. So anyway, let's see here. What have I got going on here that I need to share with you? This was released. I did get some of the release from the USDA. It says corn planted acreage is down 3% from last year. Soybeans are up 3%. And all wheat acreage is down 5%. All cotton acreage is up 14%. Corn planted for all purposes in 2024 is estimated at 91.5 million acres, down 3%, or 3.17 million acres from last year. This represents the eighth highest planted acreage in the United States since 1944. Soybeans planted area for 2024 is estimated at 86.1 million acres, up 3% from last year, compared with the last planted acreages up or unchanged in 24 of the 29 estimating states. All wheat planted area for 2024 is estimated at 47.2 million acres, down 5% from last year. The 24 winter wheat planted area, 33.8 million acres, is down 8% from last year, down 1% from the previous estimate. Of this total, about 24.1 million acres is hard red winter wheat. 6.14 is soft red winter wheat, and 3.59 million acres are white winter. Areas expected to be planted to other spring wheat for 24 is estimated at 11.3 million acres, up 1% from the 23 estimate. Last and whole that I got on this is all cotton planted area for 2024 is estimated at 11.7 million acres, up 14% from last year. Upland areas estimated at 11.5 million acres, up 14% from 23. American Pima area is, I hope I'm saying that right, estimated at 182,000 acres, and it's up 24% from 2023. Don't let those numbers fool you, because if you guys remember, the biggest cotton state is Texas. And last year, we were getting those rains out in the Texas Panhandle. They didn't get their crop in. So I'm going to say, if I remember those numbers from last year, actually, I thought I remember reading 18 or 19% of the cotton in Texas was not planted last year. And so it's up from last year if you compare those numbers. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store happy hour break, and we'll come back. We got more agriculture to talk about. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Are you tired of navigating the digital jungle all on your own? Look no further than innovative technology in Elk City. Running a business in today's fast-paced world can be overwhelming, but our experienced IT professionals are here to lighten the load. Whether you're in education, energy, finance, or any other industry, we've got your back with our IT solutions. Safeguard your business with our cutting-edge internet security, reliable internet phone lines, and top-notch security camera networks. Your business's digital fortress starts here. Need on-site support? We're just a short drive away. From computer repair to network installation, we've got you covered. Worried about cyber threats? Our cybersecurity awareness and training will keep your team ahead of the curve. Don't let technology overwhelm you. Call us at 580-243-1559 to discover how our 40-plus years of service can transform your business. Visit Innovative Technology at 105 Carter Road in Elk City or check us out online at itlpros.com.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, what do you guys think about a boss that shoots me a text at 12:29 and says, "Hey, go down by Culver Electric and grab your lunch. They're having their celebration today and anniversary celebration today, and they're serving lunch till 1 o'clock. is he messing with me or does he not know my show schedule? Anyway, let's check out some ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma, and let's pick out, I don't know who to pick out today. I haven't done Sealand in a while. Let's go with Sealand. Sealand, Oklahoma. Let's refresh this and make sure it's correct. It is 99 degrees, feels like 100. Heat risk low, really. Dew point 61. Humidity's 29. Southwest wind 17 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 22. 10-day rain total 1.81 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 92 degrees. Sunset 8:57. 105 for a high today. It's 20% slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, 77. Chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, 30%, and a high of 99. I know I let the dogs out this morning. I think they smelt a kitty or an animal. I let them out at 3:30 this morning, and dude, it was hot. It was still hot at 3:30. It was pretty hot. Okay, let's see what we got going on here. Where did my deal go? Hang on. I'm looking for it. Oh, let's talk about okra. I haven't heard from my listener down in Harmon County since he's been getting rain that planted 15 acres of okra. If you're listening today, can I have an update on it? I know it hasn't been but a couple, 2 or 3 weeks since you planted that, but I want to know how it is. Take care of 15 acres of okra. But anyway, here's some reasons to grow okra in your garden, and pretty good reasons. One of the primary reasons to grow okra in the summer is its remarkable heat tolerance. While many vegetables struggle in the sweltering summer heat, okra flourishes. Native to the hot climates of Africa, okra thrives in temperatures above 90 degrees. And if some of you guys that don't know, okra is related to cotton. It really does well above 90 degrees, so it ought to really be kicking in really good right now to 100. Its ability to withstand high temperatures makes an ideal crop for gardeners living in regions like western Oklahoma, eastern Texas Panhandle with hot summers. Unlike some other vegetables that may wilt or require constant shading, okra can grow vigorously, even under the intense summer sun. Low maintenance. Okra is relatively a low maintenance plant, making an excellent choice for both the novice and the experienced gardeners. It requires minimal care once established. Okra plants need well-drained soil and full sun to grow their best. Regular watering is essential, especially during dry spells, but okra is quite drought tolerant compared to other vegetables. If soil moisture becomes too dry, okra pods can get tough on shorter lengths. Keeping soil moisture consistent is the main thing, and I'll put an amen behind that one. That will allow you to harvest pods at longer lengths, giving you more okra per harvest. And what they're talking about there is the difference between the 4-inch ones and the 1 and 2-inch ones. If your water is consistent, and your nutrition and your fertilization is good, you will get those 3 to 4-inch, depending on what variety of okra, you'll get those instead of those that grow about 1 inch. So if you start getting a bunch of 1-inch ones, you're doing something wrong. Okra grows quickly. It produces an abundant harvest. And from planting to harvest, okra takes typically 50 to 60 days, allowing you to enjoy fresh pods through the summer. Some okra varieties will reach heights of 8 to 10 foot tall, but other dwarf varieties will remain short and have more of a bushy growth habit. Either way, each okra plant can yield a significant number of pods throughout its lifetime. Regular harvesting encourages the plants to produce more pods, ensuring a continuous supply of fresh okra. And you guys that have grown okra before, you know that there's a certain time you need to cut them and not let them keep growing. Okra is packed with nutrients, making it a healthy addition to your diet. It is an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and K, as well as fiber. Additionally, okra contains antitoxins and beneficial compounds man, it just got some. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these. These have been linked to various health benefits, including reduced inflammation and improved heart health. Including okra in your meals can contribute to a balanced and nutritious diet. Okra's unique texture and flavor make it a versatile ingredient in the kitchen. It can be prepared in a variety of ways, including frying, boiling, grilling, and pickling. Okra is a key ingredient in dishes such as gumbo and can be added to soup, stews, and salads. While some people are turned off by the slimy texture of okra, this is a variable trait in thickening soups and stews. And there you go. Pest and disease resistance. All right. I can't wait to read this one. Okra is resistant to many common garden pests and diseases, which make it hardy crop for summer gardens. Grasshoppers and deer are not in this conversation. The deer and the grasshoppers can tear it up. While it can still be susceptible to pests like aphids, flea beetles, these can often be managed with simple organic pesticides. Additionally, okra's robust nature means it can recover quickly from minor pet damage, reducing the overall need for intensive pest management. Couple more here and we'll be done with it. Space. Even though okra plants can grow tall, they don't take up much horizontal space in a garden. The vertical growth habit makes them ideal for small gardens or for gardeners. Buddy of mine put some in a protein tub and kept it water consistent. He made okra last summer from whenever, about right now, all the way up into October, and did a really good job for you guys that don't have much of an area. Growing okra can contribute to a more sustainable garden. There are many heirloom okra varieties for which you can save the seeds and replant the following year. Allow some pods to mature and dry on the plant, then collect the seeds for future use. This practice not only saves money, but also helps you maintain a self-sufficient garden. Remember, when you're getting those garden seeds for any garden seed, not besides okra, if they're a hybrid and you save the seeds out of them, it's going to tell you, you're going to be highly disappointed next year when you plant them. So if it's a hybrid, please eat them, throw away. And I got this cool deal, and I don't know if I got the picture with me, but I got this okra chopper that got somebody from around here turned me on. That's made at a gun shop in Louisiana. And talking to that guy from Louisiana, you can tell he's from Louisiana. I think he's kin to Jeremiah. Might even be kin to that old boy up there at Pack Saddle that runs the management, my old favorite man from French Quarters. But anyway, it fits a 5-gallon bucket, and I can, as long as I can keep the okra coming in there, I chop it. It slices it up and what we always like to put in the frying pan or whatever. Anyway, it's really cool deal. I got one, and I think it was my father-in-law up at Billings that turned me onto that thing. And man, it'll get them sliced up just perfect. Doesn't make a mess. You can fill a 5-gallon bucket up quite a bit, put them each in their little bag, sew them in the freezer, eat them for the rest of the year. So anyway, it's pretty cool. I enjoy it. Anyway, this is like a Paul Harvey deal. Let's try this. Anyway, this actually is a Paul Harvey deal. I can't remember how he always finishes his Paul Harvey deals, and I think that was the rest of the story. Is that right? Well, here's the start of the story. So here's the rest of the story. In 1837, a young blacksmith saw his business in Vermont failing, leaving him unable to pay his creditors. In those days, debtors, prison was a grim reality. They threw you in jail back then if you didn't pay your bills, a place where individuals were incarcerated simply for owing money they could not repay. Facing the bleak prospect of debtor's prison, the young blacksmith made a bold decision. He took his family and fled Vermont for the opportunities of the American Midwest. The young blacksmith made plows of steel, envisioning a plow that could slice through the soil without breaking, as cast iron constantly did on tough Midwestern soil. And so the steel plow was born. With the ingenious innovation, steel plows transformed the landscape, making the fertile plains accessible to farmers. By the mid-1850s, a formerly bankrupt blacksmith was producing over 10,000 plows a year, each one bearing the mark of unmatched quality. Today, we remember him because his name is in brels on every piece of equipment manufactured by his company. The name of the blacksmith, who fled to Illinois not just for opportunity, but to escape creditors threatening him with jail for unpaid debts, was John Deere. And now you know why it's true that nothing runs like a deer. Let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
A person who has never smiled can start smiling. There's just a look on their face that completely changes. When we give them a mirror and show them their new smile, there's nothing that warms my heart more. I had a gentleman in his 50s, and his whole life he never had a front tooth. His front tooth was stuck up in the bone. He had been to dentists before, but nobody really talked to him about his options. That was just the most rewarding thing. And afterwards, he sent me the sweetest card about how the Lord put a smile on his heart, but I put a smile on his face. And that's pretty rewarding.
I'm Dr. Jamie Cameron at Southwest Dentistry and Cosmetics in Weatherford, and on Mondays at Liberty Dental in Carnegie. Our website is swdentalok.com. or just Google us.
Southwest Dentistry and Cosmetics, where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry. And I've got to say, it's pretty life-changing for us whenever we see you with your new smile.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our FECON Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Mangum, Oklahoma. here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. It's 101. Feels like 103. Dew point 62. Humidity's 28. The winds are out of the southwest at 19 miles an hour. Wind gusts up 24. 10-day rain total, 0.02 inches. That's, 21,000ths of an inch, according to our nuclear scientist slash farmer in Roger Mills County. Bare soil temperature, 3-day average, 4 inch, 90 degrees. Sunset, 8:55. It's hot, 105 for a high today. Southwest to south winds, 17, 18 miles an hour. And mostly clear, low 79 tonight. 102 and hot tomorrow with south winds 10 to 14 miles an hour. Man, I should have rolled my wheel move this morning one less roll than what I did. I was batting on a southeast wind this morning when I rolled it, not a southwest wind. So guess what? We'll see. I had to go check it out, make sure I got all the peanuts wetted down because they are struggling. They're not struggling. They need some dill. Okay, I wanted to brag on John Stoddard. I hope I said that right. Anyway, he come by the office a while ago. He's the guy that I was telling you guys about 6 months ago that moved from New Mexico because of the border crisis and moved all of his honeybees up here to Oklahoma. He came by. I want to show you if you're looking on Facebook. Look at that jar of honey I bought from him. And he gave me a little bit of sample of a honeycomb over there. Anyway, if you guys want some 100% pure honey grown right here in Beckham County, he's got a Facebook page, is all I can tell you. And, or I got his number here. I'll give it to you. How's that? Anyway, phone number, if you want some homegrown honey, 505-859-6538. 505-859-6538. Or his Facebook page is John Stoddard. I hope I'm saying that right. Stoddard. S is in Sierra, T is in Tom, zero. O is in Omaha, D is in dog, D is in dog, A is in Alpha, and R is in Romeo, and D is in dog. Stoddard. How's that? So we had this interesting combine auction happen here not too long ago. So I'm going to read you this story from them before the show's over. I like to keep a pause on what is happening in the auction market. Every month I normally look at combines, row crop tractors, and sprayers. Last week, one sale stood out to me more than others, not because of the value, rather than the diversity of mix. The auction I am speaking of is the Big Iron Auction held on June 17, 2024. This was a no-reserve dealer and farmer auction with 22 combines listed for sale. The mix was following, or as follows, 10 Case IH, 9 John Deere, 2 Fendt, and 1 Claus. The machine auction value seemed to be in line with other auctions as well as the number of bidders, but what I found interesting was the price, the difference in the prices. Sale price versus the original list price. When considering the sale price as a percentage of the original list, I found the results of the auction interesting because of the closeness amongst all the manufacturers. For example, a 2022 Claus 8700T had an original list price of $918,000. It sold for $396,000, making the percentage of list price 43.2%. In comparisons, a 2022 John Deere S780 with a list price of $686,000 sold for $331,000, making the percentage of list 48.3%. A 23 John Deere S780 had a list price of $848,000 and sold for $370,000, making that percentage 43.6%. The late model, low hour machines all fell within 5% of each other. The next group of machines that stood out were the 2021 and 2019 models. The 2019 group was made up of five machines, and again, they had pretty tight tolerances. Three manufacturers made up the group, and the average percentage was 28.8% of the list price, making all the machines plus or minus 5% of the average. There was two 2021 machines on sale, one John Deere S780 and one Case IH8250. Both were Class 8 combines that sold within 0.8% of each other. So what did they sell for? Here is the Case IH, sold for $187,000, and then John Deere 21 John Deere sold for $200,000. And then he got into the older ones, and here is a Case IH 2019 8250 with 1,646 hours on it, brought $162,000, and then a 2019 John Deere S780. With 1,070 hours on it. I think that's right. Make sure. Yeah. Not separator. Then we're engine hours, not separator hours. Brought $189,250 bucks. And then the older models, just for the heck of it, the John Deere 2018 S770 with 1,686 hours on it, sold for $165,000. And the 2018 Case IH 7240 with 2,000 hours on it sold for $121,000. And then you got down to the 2014s and 15 Case IHs. You got into the $80,000 to $140,000, depending on what day what. So why is this important, and what does it mean? These are symptoms of a saturated market. The market has been driven down in price, and now shoppers are looking at hours and condition more than brand. These machines average 203 bids apiece, with a range of 124 to 265 bids per machine, so bidders came to buy. Buyers also know there isn't a lack of equipment in the market, and they can be patient. They can't wait to find the exact machine they've been looking for. For more than likely, they will also find the price they're looking for also as well. The issue that comes with the buyer's market is just that. When the buyer is looking to upgrade their machine, they have one to move as well. And the same rules apply when selling as when buying. What will the market bear, and what speed will it move? The combine market, in my opinion, is close to the bottom, and these auction values are a good indicator. The wild swings in the combine auction values have slowed, and now the retail market is finally coming into line with tighter auction to retail ratios. For the first time in a long time, I have more confidence in the combine market than I do in any other used equipment market. I think 2024 will continue to see slides in values, but I'm not sure it will be with the combines. There you have it. You want to buy a combine? Maybe the proper time to do it. I don't know. I'm not buying one. I got friends in low places for that. Finally, finish off the show. Before I do that, the Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County for animal feed and farm ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies. They are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. Owners Nathan and Charity Heffley take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easier and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They've been a high-pro dealer for well over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just right there on the east side of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Also, I don't know if you guys listened to Jared's news there at noon. Altus is under some new rules. No water in your yard, or no filling your swimming pools up for at least the next couple of weeks. I think they're doing some upgrades or something on their water treatment plant. So no water in yards or filling up the swimming pool for the next couple of weeks. So just want to remind you guys of that. The government will compensate farmers for 90% of the value of the milk lost as a result of the H5N1 avian flu infections in their dairy cows, announced Agriculture Tom Velsack yesterday. We want to assist our producers every way that we can to help them as they combat this emerging animal health disease. In the 3 months since scientists confirmed the first appearance of that virus in the dairy cattle in Texas, bird flu has been identified now in 132 dairy herds in 12 states. From Idaho to North Carolina, three workers on dairy farms have contracted mild cases of bird flu from infected cows. Dairy farmers can apply for payments through the Emergency Livestock Assistance Program, ELAP, beginning this coming Monday, the same day the USDA will publish a regulation allowing the aid, said the USDA. Payments will be calculated at 90% of the value of reduced milk production per cow for 28 days. The all milk price, a U.S. average issued monthly, will be the milk price used by the USDA. You guys have an awesome weekend. Drink plenty of water. Stay cool. Check on your neighbors. Check on your animals. Check your animal water. Do all the above, please. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sarah in Elk City, America. God bless.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done. 96.5 KECO, Elk City.